And welcome to GoGo Radio, found exclusively on GoGo.com. My name is Mike Simpson, and in this show we are going to discuss exceptions and their use in Java. Be sure to check out my GoGo profile and send in any questions or comments using the box below. Alright, let's get started. Exceptions have several benefits. First, they allow you to separate error handling code from normal code. You can surround the code that you expect to execute 99.9% of the time in a try block, and then place error handling code in catch clauses, code that you don't expect to get executed often, if ever. This arrangement has a nice benefit. It makes your normal code less cluttered. If you feel that a particular method doesn't know how to handle a particular error, then you can generate an exception from that method and let someone else deal with it. If you throw a checked exception, then you're enlisting the help of the Java compiler to force client programmers to deal with this potential exception, either by catching it or by declaring it in the throws clause of their methods. The fact that Java compilers make sure that checked exceptions are handled helps to make Java programs more robust. So, when should you throw an exception? Well, you can sum the answer up in one guideline. If your method encounters an abnormal condition that it can't handle, then it should throw an exception. Unfortunately, though this guideline is easy to memorize and can sound impressive if you recite it at parties, it doesn't really clear up the picture all that much. And it actually winds up leading to a slightly different question. What is an abnormal condition? That, it turns out, is the critical question. Deciding whether or not a particular event qualifies as an abnormal condition can be a subjective judgment, and the decision is not always obvious. So perhaps a somewhat more helpful heuristic can be, you should avoid using exceptions to indicate conditions that can reasonably be handled and reasonably be expected as a part of the typical functioning of the method. Using that as a heuristic, an abnormal condition would be any condition that would not be reasonably expected as a part of the normal functioning of the method. Or an alternative way of thinking about exceptions, which might give you some more insight into when you should use them, is that an exception would indicate a broken contract. And to think about this, you might consider that one design approach that's often discussed in the context of object-oriented program is the design-by-contract approach. And this approach to software design says that a method represents a contract between the client, the caller of the method, and the class that declares the method. The contract includes preconditions that the client must fulfill and postconditions that the method itself must fulfill. Now, here's an example of that, because you may not have done a lot with the design by contract approach before. Here's an example of a method with a precondition. In the Java String class, there's a method called charAt, which takes an index as an argument. And this method requires that the index parameter that's passed by the client be between 0 and 1 less than the value returned by invoking length on the string object. In other words, let's say that we have a string that's 10 characters, so the length of the string is 10. So the index parameter must be between 0 and 9 inclusive. In other words, we can find characters at position 0 all the way up to position 9. So that's the precondition there. The postcondition of that method is that the return value will be the character at that position and that the string itself will remain unchanged. So if the client invokes the charAt method and the client passes -1, then the client's broken the contract. Or if the client invokes charAt and passes some value that's greater than the length of the string, then the client has also broken the contract. So in this case, the charAt method can't do its job correctly, and it signals this to the client by throwing a string index out of bounds exception. This exception indicates that the client has some kind of software bug or has not used the class correctly. Now, if the char at method finds that it has received good input, in other words, the client has kept its part of the bargain, but for some reason it's unable to return the character at the requested index, in other words, it's unable to fulfill its end of the contract, then it would indicate this condition by throwing some appropriate exception. That exception would indicate that the method itself has some kind of bug or some kind of difficulty with runtime resources. So, if an event represents an abnormal condition or a broken contract, the thing to do in Java programs is to throw an exception. So, once you've decided to throw an exception, you need to decide what exception to throw. You may throw an instance of the class capital T throwable, or any subclass of capital T throwable. You can throw an already existing throwable object from the Java API, or you can define and throw an object of your own. So, how do you decide? Well, one easy decision that you should make is that you should never throw an error. Although the capital E error class is a subclass of capital T throwable, the capital E error class is intended for drastic problems, such as an out-of-memory error, which would be reported by the Java virtual machine itself. On occasion, an error such as java.awt.AWT.WT error, in other words, an abstract windowing toolkit error, could be thrown by the Java API. But your code should generally restrict itself to throwing exceptions, in other words, subclasses of the class capital E exception. Basically, let the Java virtual machine throw capital E errors or subclasses thereon, and let your code throw exceptions, subclasses of class capital E exception. So if we presume that our code is going to be throwing exceptions, then the major question becomes whether to throw a checked exception or an unchecked exception. A checked exception is some subclass of capital E exception, or exception itself, excluding the class runtime exception and its subclasses. Unchecked exceptions, as you would probably guess already, are the runtime exception class and any of its subclasses. Now, as a point of reference, class capital E error and its subclasses are unchecked, but since we're focusing on throwing exceptions only, our main decision should be whether to throw a subclass of runtime exception, which is unchecked, or to throw a subclass of exception or some other subclass, which is checked. Now, if you throw a checked exception and you do not catch it, then you will need to declare the exception in your method's throws clause. And some of you might have been trying to figure out, well, why do I sometimes have to declare an exception in the throws clause and sometimes I don't have to? Well, the idea, this is why you have to do it. If you throw a checked exception and you don't catch that checked exception, then you have to declare the exception in your throws clause. Client programmers who wish to call your method will then need to either catch and handle the exception within the body of their methods, or they must declare the exception in the throws clause of their methods. Making an exception checked forces client programmers to deal with the possibility that the exception will be thrown. And this makes the code more robust because they have to deal with that possibility. Now, if you throw an unchecked exception, and remember the unchecked exceptions are runtime exception and any of their subclasses, then client programmers can decide whether to catch or disregard the exception, just as with checked exceptions. However, with an unchecked exception, the compiler does not force client programmers either to catch the exception or to declare it in a throws clause. In fact, client programmers may not even know that the exception could be thrown. Either way, client programmers are much less likely to think about what they should do in the event of an unchecked exception, again, that's runtime exception and its subclasses, than they are in the case of the checked exceptions. So here's a simple guideline to take home about that. If you are throwing an exception for an abnormal condition, and you think client programmers should consciously decide how to handle them, then you should throw a checked exception. And remember, the checked exceptions are subclasses of exception, or exception itself, excluding the class runtime exception and subclasses of runtime exception. So that's the trick of deciding between checked and unchecked exceptions. If the abnormal condition is a failure of the method to fulfill its contract, and you feel it's common or important enough that client programmers should be forced to deal with the possibility of the exception, then you should throw a checked exception. Otherwise, throw unchecked. Now, the most important thing to take away from this radio show is that exceptions are there for abnormal conditions. And exceptions should not be used to report conditions that can be reasonably expected as part of the everyday functioning of a method. Although the use of exceptions can help make your code easier to read by separating the normal code from the error code, inappropriate use of exceptions can actually make your code somewhat more difficult to read. So again, here are some guidelines that you can use. If your method encounters an abnormal condition that it cannot handle, it should throw an exception. You should avoid using exceptions to indicate conditions that can be reasonably expected as a part of the normal functioning of the method. If your method discovers that the client has breached its contractual obligations, for example, by passing in bad input data, then throw an unchecked exception. If your method is unable to fulfill its contract, then throw either a checked or an unchecked exception. If you are throwing an exception for an abnormal condition, and you feel that client programmers should consciously decide how to handle dealing with this abnormal condition, then you should throw a checked exception. You should define or choose an already existing exception class for each kind of abnormal condition that may cause your method to throw an exception. I hope that you have enjoyed today's presentation, and I look forward to your comments and to your questions. You may email your input to me by using the question box found on this page, and I will be answering your questions and I will be replying to your comments in upcoming presentations. If you are interested in viewing my other shows, just search the GoGo Radio Archive for my name, Mike Simpson. If there is a show that you would like for me to do, please send me an email and let me know. Thank you again for your time today, and remember to tune into the GoGo Radio, found exclusively on GoGo.com.